had an ungrateful child demand that you do something for them, right? Like, get me a drink, or one of those type of things. In response, you've probably said, or at the very least thought, what do you think I am, your servant? And it's good for us to be careful that we don't teach children around us to be selfish or entitled. But having a servant attitude isn't always bad. You could also go back and look at times in history where servants were kind of romanticized. Like the show, how many of y'all watch the show Downton Abbey, right? We got a picture, I think, of some housemaids and footmen and valets and butlers, and they're all taking their job very seriously with dignity and class. Well, the Bible talks about Christians being servant-hearted. And that Christ took on the form of a servant. Ethan just read that. So what does that mean for us today? Well, we've been going through this mistaken identity series, and we've seen that our culture is constantly searching for their identity and tempting to define ourselves by things that don't last. Careers end, and kids grow up, and seasons change. And when those things do, the identity that we built on them can leave us feeling unsteady. And at the same time, the world, the flesh, and the devil, our enemies, work to distort who we are, filling us with lies that leave us confused or weak. But Scripture reminds us our true identity isn't based in feelings or circumstances. It's firmly rooted in the unchanging truth of God's Word. We've talked about how we are free. We are made in God's image. We are a child of God. And as crazy as it sounds, the Bible tells us that we are saints. We're abiding in Christ. And as a Christian, we learned last week that we are meant to be part of the body of Christ. We are meant to be church members. See, Jesus is different than any other leader that has ever lived. He is different, and that's what we're going to talk about today. These things that we've just mentioned are all big things, and they're strong foundations that we can build our life upon, things that last through the changes in life. But today we're going to see how Jesus is different. He's a different type of leader. Are you ready for me to get super political today? You ready? Everybody be like, yeah, let's do it. I know there's a lot of you that have strong feelings about 1970s Romanian government. Scared half of you are about to, like, leave. Nicolae Ceausescu, I think that's how you say that, was the head of state for the Romanian government during the 1970s. And he became popular, and he rose to power by talking about equality and prosperity for all people. That's great, right? And it was attractive to the Romanian people because they were struggling so bad. And Nicolae said, we must ensure a more and more prosperous life for all working people, a high level of civilization for an entire nation. That sounds great. That sounds good. But his policies actually resulted in extreme shortages of food and fuel and energy and basic needs. He also placed his family members and friends in high places and gave them positions. He lived in luxury in a house with 90 rooms that is called the Spring Palace. So we've got a couple pictures here of it. We have his personal theater here. We also have his golden bathroom. And then we also have a pool with a million mosaic tiles there surrounding his indoor personal pool. And this is all while people in the streets were starving, standing in ration lines in the street. And this is the temptation of the leaders in our world today. But Jesus is different than every other leader that has ever lived. Jesus said this about himself in Mark 10:45. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. And the rulers of this world can't help but make it about themselves. But Jesus came for the people that sinned against him. He didn't seek vengeance against them. He came to make a way for them to get to God. The God that created this universe loved us so much that he got out of the palace in heaven to walk among his children and to experience life and hunger and pain and temptation and rejection like we have. And then he laid his life down on a cross. Jesus is the ultimate example of a servant leader. And as a follower of Jesus, we are called to follow his example. Philippians 2:5, Paul tells us, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Okay, what mind? What mind should we have in ourselves? Well, the mind of Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. Paul tells the church here in Philippi, hey, you know how we've talked about how Jesus is different than every other leader that has ever lived? He is God. He rules everything. He has everything. But he didn't let that stop him from putting all that to the side to come and serve us. Well, the same thing that made him different, the Bible tells us you should have that same mindset. Jesus told his disciples his mindset here in Matthew chapter 20, verse 25 through 28 that Ethan read just a little while ago. And we call it the upside down kingdom, where the leader serves the people. But Jesus called them to him and said, here's what it says in those verses. You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be your slave, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. The rulers of this world exploit their followers for their own selfish gain. But that's not the calling of the Jesus follower. The follower of Jesus serves others despite what their title is. Now, most of us don't mind doing things for others as long as they notice and appreciate it. And to be clear, we should seek to notice and appreciate when people do things for us. And we also should be conscious that sometimes when we help people, especially children, we can actually be hurting them by not allowing them to learn to do it for themselves. If I still carried Noah around like a little baby for the last 16 years, he wouldn't be the man he's supposed to be. I think he's 16. Do you want me to do that instead? No, okay. Sometimes when we help people, we got to be careful because there comes a time when we have to ask ourselves, okay, I've helped this person, and they're not learning how to solve these issues on their own, so I need to give them that information, I need to point them in the right direction, and they need to be able to learn to do this themselves. So we need to pray for wisdom on that, because we also don't want to go too far and not help anybody, hoping that they learn a lesson. So there's a wisdom and a Holy Spirit guiding that we need to help seek there. But when people appreciate what we do, it's much easier to serve people. But what happens when they don't even notice? Well, we're tempted to quit when we aren't noticed. Well, contrary to popular belief, it is not wrong to seek approval or want to be recognized for our hard work. But the issue comes when we seek approval from the wrong place. Paul talks to the church in Colossae about this situation in Colossians 3:22, talking about the relationship between a boss and their worker. It says, bondservants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service or as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Here's the important part right here. It says, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Jesus. When we work, I used to work at Chuck E. Cheese. You can laugh at that. It's kind of funny. Ha, ha, ha. I used to work at Chuck E. Cheese. But I didn't work for Charles E. Cheese. I worked for Jesus. I worked to make pizzas in the way that would please the Lord and to clean the ball pit in the way that would please the Lord. Not for men, but for God. And when we serve others, ultimately there is one person whose approval matters. And rest assured that he sees everything. So don't get discouraged that you are unseen. Don't get discouraged that nobody noticed. Just stop looking for the approval of men. When you do your job, or when you serve in the community, or at home, work hard knowing that God sees it. Serve like you're directly serving Jesus because you are. Seek his approval. You'll be blessed when you work and serve not to please men, but with a sincere heart working to please God. And then when you're tempted to believe that no one sees you and that no one knows the good that you're doing, that's not true. Work like you're serving the Lord. He sees it. We don't serve Jesus in order to get saved and to have a relationship with him, but we do serve through faithfulness and good works because we are saved. It's out of our abundance of appreciation that we seek to avoid sin and to do good works. Why? Because we want to please our Heavenly Father. And it's easy for us to get off track in serving others. We need to be careful that we aren't just doing things to be seen and to look good in front of men and others and get a pat on the back. It tells us that in Matthew chapter 6, verse 1. It says, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen of them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with a trumpet, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the street, to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand's doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Social media is a common place where people try to get pats on the back for doing good. But as Christians, we should be uninterested in that. We don't need to announce to everybody every good thing that we do. We don't serve to be noticed by a man. We serve because we belong to Jesus, and it's our identity. And God blesses his people for serving him and serving others with a sincere heart. Now, he gets to choose how that blessing comes. But you have the promise that it is better to give than receive. So we seek to serve God by serving others, just like Jesus did for us. And that might mean at work you clean out the coffee pot when nobody else does, without even leaving a passive-aggressive note. Maybe it's something as small as picking up trash when no one else notices, doing something for the community that nobody else sees. Maybe it means cheerfully visiting an elderly person who might not even remember that you visited afterwards. Maybe it means bringing a dish to something, even though nobody at Thanksgiving even noticed last time. Maybe it means volunteering for a cleanup crew when really the decorating crew is more fun and gets more recognition. See, once we realize that we are serving the Lord rather than men, you can stop worrying about whether you're underappreciated. And we can stop focusing on whether anyone recognizes what we do. And then when someone does recognize that we went the extra mile and they make a big deal about it, that we can rejoice then that we get to see a small glimpse of how pleased God is when we follow Jesus' example. Jesus left the glory of heaven to come and serve us by saving us from our sins. He was despised and rejected by those he came to save, but he loves us anyway. Jesus is different than every other leader. He came to serve. And because our identity is in Christ, We are called to be servants too. Galatians 5:13 says, "For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." Christ sets us free, but not free to selfishness, free to love and to serve one another. So don't get weary in well-doing. Everything your hand finds to do, do it with all your might, because your Father in heaven sees it. Bear one another's burdens. Put others' needs before yourself, not just with words, but with actions. God sees it. We are God's handiwork, created for good works. So don't withhold good when we have the power to do it. Use your gifts to benefit others and please God. He sees it. We don't serve to be noticed by man. We serve because we belong to Jesus. It is our identity. The rulers of this world use people to elevate themselves. But we're called to be different. Unlike Romanian dictators, the King of Kings washed feet. The creator of the universe served people food. He had time for people that were outcasts. The Savior of the world gave his life. So in the unnoticed sacrifice and the unreturned kindness, know that God sees it. And if you're doing it for him, he is very pleased. Don't give up. So the question for you today as we close is, where is God calling you to be a better servant? At work, at home, at church? Maybe it's something, serving someone that you know could never return the favor. Know this, that when we serve the Lord, we can always serve the Lord with joy and gladness. And if we're faithful to serve people in order to serve Jesus, we can rest assured that when we enter the next life, we will get to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." We don't serve to be noticed. We serve because we belong to Jesus. I am a servant. It's our identity. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes as we welcome the worship team. Many of us, if you've been around church a long time, there's probably things that you used to do that you kind of gave up on because nobody noticed it, and that thing that you did kept happening over and over again, and it began to boil your blood a little bit. But the problem is, and that happens, and it happens to me, when I take my eyes off the fact that I'm not looking for approval and for recognition from the men and women around me. I'm looking to please God. God sees it. And so when I do that thing that I'm doing for the thousandth time and it feels like, what's the point? The point is that Jesus walked up the hill of Calvary for me, and he allowed his hands and feet to be pierced with nails, a crown on his brow, a spear in his side, for somebody like me that didn't understand, doesn't grasp all the amazing things that he's done for me, and the times that I've turned my back and sinned against him, the times that he's done things for me and I haven't noticed, he did it anyway. Jesus went to the cross for me. So I can take a couple extra steps to do something for others around me, seeking to please him and not those that I'm serving. Today, the question is where, God, do you want me to be a better servant? What were the things that I maybe used to do or some attitudes that I have that don't line up with the example of Christ? Help us to be a servant. Help us to serve our families, serve at work, serve in the community, serve our neighborhood, to go the extra mile, to walk out the gospel in small, little, hardly noticeable things in our life. But the accumulated benefit of those things shine a light and point back to Jesus. Maybe you're here today and you're not yet a follower of Jesus. You haven't put your faith and trust in Him. Well, the Bible tells us the wages of our sin is death. That's what we earn. That's what we deserve, is death in a place called hell, separated from God forever and ever. But Romans 5:8 says that God commended His love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, even though we were sinners, even though we'd failed Him, even though we turned our backs on Him, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Bible goes on and says that God commended His love towards us. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. And that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's Romans 10:13. You can call out to Him. God's not holding it against you. He's the most forgiving person ever. But you've got to ask for forgiveness. You've got to confess your sin and put your faith and trust in what Jesus did on the cross. 2,000 years ago, God came in the flesh and He walked among us. And He lived for 33 years. His name was Jesus. And He did miracles. And He taught the people. And He had a following, thousands of people. And He had time for the people around Him. He served the people around Him. And then He allowed Himself to be crucified and die. But then He rose from the dead on the third day. And He was seen of hundreds of witnesses, and He walked this earth for 40 days and then ascended to heaven. And just like Jesus resurrected Himself, He can resurrect you. You can put your faith and trust in Him today and call out to Him from your heart to God. You can change the words to better fit you, but a basis of God, I know I'm a sinner. And I know because of my sin that I deserve hell. God, forgive me. I'm turning from my sin and I'm turning to You. I put my faith in what You did on the cross to save me. Thank You, Lord, for saving me. If that's you today, write that on your connection card before you put it in one of the offering boxes. I chose Jesus. Or reach out to me in email or social media or something like that. And let me know that you accepted Christ today and you put your faith in Him and you became a Jesus follower. Because there's nothing more important. Let's stand to our feet and we're going to worship. Altar's open today. Whatever you might have and you need your church family to pray over you, you come down. We'd want to lay a hand on you and to call out to God on your behalf. Maybe it's something to do with the message today and you feel like you've gotten cynical and skeptical and you don't have that servant heart that you used to. Let's ask God to warm our hearts and break that heart of stone.